Blog Talk Radio.
It's Halloween. I don't hear nothing. Hey, Deb. Hey, Deb.
Hey, Hatter.
Nothing's playing.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Oh.
I'm sure people can hear us, and we sound like, duh, but like...
Well, it did this last Halloween, too. Right before Halloween, it did this.
I thought it was me. I don't hear anything. Very strange.
Building is
I need to see something real quick because it better not be everything I loaded. Let me just do this real quick. One word.
Garnets of Rust.
Okay. So it's not that. So that's a good thing. So I am going to scoot over here really, really fast. I am running. And we can get this show started. Because I don't know what happened, but here we go.
Watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant. And I still loving you. I'm walking down.
You Cannot Say, written by Jay Hatter, singer, song, singer, music writer, Shout Even Shy. And I was going to start the show with Let's Dance, David Bowie, which is why the red shoes are on the board, but it didn't play. And it's probably for the better because there are so many poems and several coming in. I'm going to have to act like this is one of the tribute shows, and I'll comment, and then I'll get the next reader to comment and then read their poem, or we'll never fit them all in. And I got like 6 or 7 SoundClouds as well. So I'm looking forward to this. And the red's very, very popular topic. A lot of people's favorite colors. So that's really cool. And I'm here with the writer of that song, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, Deb. Yeah, I'm here. Busy, busy.
Glad you're here. And we are part of a team of voices radio, a radio writing group that hangs out on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. And if you're already a member or if you do join, click on the groups tab and look for us towards the top of the list, a team of voices. Knock on the door. You can come hang out with us and write poetry. And you can call in to read or comment or just hang out at 1-646-668-2837. And I got a line waiting to get in, so let's let some of these amazing poets in the door and get to some of that aforementioned poetry that's filling up my board. And I'm starting with the dynamic duo that hangs out here and puts out mega shows at A Poetic Slice of Life, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hello. How are you?
I am, for some reason, I'm in a really good mood today. So go figure. I'll take it when I can get it. I'm glad you're here. And I am going to, if you see that shadow right behind you, that is Mr. Wayne Gent waiting to get in too. Wayne.
Let me in. Let me in.
There you, by the hair of your chinny chin chin, you step right in.
That's the journey. That's
and
right.
I'm glad you're
glad
here.
Glad to be here tonight. Glad to be here.
And right behind Mr. Wayne Gent is David, Mr. Provitt.
Hey.
Come in and hang out with us.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad to be here, too.
Always glad to see you on Mondays. We missed you last week. Glad you're feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said, crazy amount of poems, so I'm going to just dig right in. And while I'm grabbing Kay's poem, I'm going to tell the listeners that this week I had some amazing red photos to choose from. And one of the last of the crayon word banks, when I start with the textures, I'm just going to say to everybody, well, by now you have some favorite colors. So you bring 6 of your favorite colors and then do this. And that's how we'll step into that. So, Miss Kay, you were one of those people that I expected to have a really hard time choosing the photos because, as I mentioned, it's a favorite color for so many people. But in the meantime, if everyone clicks on the poem, and I will push a magic button, and we will listen to Kay's brilliance. Here we go.
Garnets of Rust, Passengers of Aid, by Kay. Undertakers, Savers of Pulse and Pearsons, Heartbeats, congratulated the impoverishment. Organ donors bleed well. Tuck in. Where's a steed? Rock upon the cape. Disconnected amongst the trees, disappears from greatness. Destined to creep, haunting. The price fillets. Sears a boil in margins, hatchet through the steam, as a fine china drips a slither of withdrawal. I owe you that. Rosebud snuff, that's what you get for not obeying. Sharpen the blades, watch a flicker of sparks, forged in the steel, chiseled in the cut of being an outsider, kindling babes to cleanse the flesh. Streets of gold, gilded in soot, as hollow points, highways of deception, crows litter in their tail, as weaknesses, bench presses the Achilles upon turning of back. Apple Pie Waters, Paper Planes to Fly of Illusion. Post Earnings, Stains. What is the meaning of this? Red Bannister's House. Murals to Garnish. Exaggerated like greed, the click-clacks cut like a knife. Metaphorical blood toils a house in its hue of antiquity. Cinder to spark, dusts its stain upon the cloth, as destiny is stubborn in fate, tainted, painted, as death is in the order forbidden joy. Sealed in burgundy wax, kissed of a vaudeville skull, no sunlight, starve the chill in the bones, as there is no hunger, only obsession. They wait for me. The house holds her hostage, black magic of weeds, tormenting their garlands of wilton sages. Shallow and pale blended upon mulberry tree, sugar cubes and scarlet, dissolving inklings of salts and foam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. It's a great title, but let me tell you, from the first word, Undertakers, it's like you gulp. Whoa. Undertaker Saviors of Pulse and Piercing Heartbeats. Whoa. What a start. And then we come through, and some of this hatchet through the steam. And the visual there is like, you know, a slice. And there were all these vivid, chilling images that come through. But there was also, like, kindling bays and cleanse of flesh. And the contradiction there is like, okay, ow, cleanse of flesh? I'd call that a viciously painful removal of flesh. So, like, you take that and the chilling thought of that, and then that soft, even flow that you just read with, and it's like spooky, haunting, scary. So I'm going on, right, and we're going, Apple Pie Waters, Paper Planes, The Fly of Illusion. And you're lulled just because of the words apple pie, you know, mom and baseball and apple pie. You see, here's that apple pie, and you can sniff it for a minute, and you're lulled into this false sense of security. And then, you know, you could imagine someone that you didn't even know was there. What's the meaning of this? Exaggerated, like greed, the click, clack, cuts like a knife. And you can think of that, those times where the noise is just driving you completely insane, and suddenly just the tick of a clock seems like it's a million decibels higher than it was yesterday, and it's just driving you insane. And oh my goodness, by the time you got to the line, they wait for me, I was like, wow, this is a hell of a share. Like I said, between the little, like the mulberry tree is another one towards the end there where you're like, okay, you calm down for a minute, and then the scarlet dissolves and the inklings of salts, and it's like just wicked, vivid, wow, a new favorite. So like I guess I would call that a double lister, and I'm blown away by it. Hell of a read.
Thank you.
And like I said, I'm going to try to get them all in the 2 hours. So, Stephen, I'm sorry that you have to go over your wife or go after your wife's masterpiece, but how about if you give her a comment and then read first?
Well, yeah, I like this a lot, and I know that when you read this to me before, we were talking about the fact that it's you were thinking about Edgar Allan Poe with this, and I definitely see, I was looking at your author's notes too, I definitely see bits and pieces from the Manuscript of the Red Death, as well as the House of Usher. I think you wrote it perfectly for that, and I like all the different words that you use to say red. It's very clear, like, when you do it. The imagery is very creepy. I told you it gave me chills the first time. Yes, this is awesome.
Thank you.
Is somebody building a house in the background?
Sounds like it.
Could you mute yourself, please? And Stephen, your turn. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
All right, I wrote this thinking of my favorite villain from Stephen King, Mr. Randolph Flagg, the Walking Dude. What I did was the book The Stand. I made it go the other way. Instead of the good guys winning, I made Randall win with this. So this is called Raise the Flag and Watch Them Fall. Strobe's flesh scarlet as Project Blue turns flame red. Suicidal four-star general told East Texas in quarantine. Weaseling the rats out of the cornfield, crushing the old witch's larynx, whose ruby blood flows from my fists. Egghead cracked upon highway, while Farrah chained in darkened trailer, tongueless and earless with garnet class ring indent on forehead. Professor studies fossils, sucking water from the Rust riverbed. Dugman easily turned and crucified. Feeble-minded starves with mannequin matriarch. Nice day faces only worn on denim lapels and the toothy grin of the crow. End poem.
Ooh, I like the toothy grin. Okay, backwards. Strobes flash scarlet as Project Blue turns flames red. Suicidal four. Typer. Suicidal four-star generals hold East Texas in quarantine. And that thought, Stephen, today is so plausible that you look up and relook at that picture and the bloody visuals there and some of the stuff that was happening in Texas and the back and forth and everywhere, not just Texas, over quarantine. And it was like I'm already engrossed in it in just those, what, four lines. And then you bring us words like egghead cracked upon highway while Farrah chained in darkened trailer. Tongueless. That's you trying to scream and nothing's coming out because you don't even have a tongue. And earless and you can't hear the it must be scary as all get out. I mean, you have just a limited amount of words, but the impact isn't limited at all. It's like I'm stuck on that tongueless and earless. Jesus. Professor studies fossils. I don't have to worry about stealing the lines, actually, nap tonight. But sucking water from the Rust riverbed, dug man easily turned and crucified. Just vicious. You just took them and took out any possibility of some fluff and pounded us with these visuals all the way down to that toothy grin, and I think that it's like, man, if creepiness is what you were going after, it's perfect. Yeah, wowza. Okay, now I'm going to read next. So, Hatter, how about if you comment for Stephen, please?
Tell you the truth, I got up to move to walk across the room.
No problem at all. Wayne, can you comment for Stephen, please?
Yes, I can. So this is wild. Professor studies fossils sucking water from the Rust riverbed, and suicide force power star generals makes me feel like you're not in favor of these wars, these massacre wars. You said nice day faces, only worn in denim lapels. War is hell for sure in this piece, in this poem. You did a great job with this and very, very descriptive and give them hell. As I say, good job. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
And before I read mine, Stephen, will you tell us what's happening at the mortuary and what's happening on Wednesday, please?
Sure. The mortuary tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern is just going to be open dark poetry over to Poetic Slice of Life. Come join us, have some fun. And then Wednesday starts our year of Edgar Allan Poe. We're going to go 12 months with one show each month having to do with Edgar Allan Poe. either the mortuary or the inklings. And we're starting off with the Mask of the Red Death. That's 9 p.m. Eastern, right?
Or 10 p.m.
10 p.m., sorry.
I'm looking forward to that. I had fun with my rite for that night. Okay, now how we're going to do the next one, Hatter, is I'll read mine and you comment, and then the reader after me is Wayne, so just you and Wayne comment while I get his poem.
My screen is frozen. I cannot do anything.
Oh, okay. All right.
Give me a minute.
It's cool. I'll read, and then Stephen could comment, and then I'll get the next reader to comment. Does that work?
I'll comment.
Yeah, I can do that.
Now, here is mine. It's called Pain is the Hamster Wheel of a Journey with No End. Here we go. Flesh is the straitjacket that shackles, trapping me inside as plump lips scream, muzzled by ribs that silence the sounds. Nails claw but cannot shred the seams, locked in the loop of darkness and ache, with ice flowing veins as blood streams. Joints throb and spasms climb the calves just to shoot whiplash cramps in my neck. The knots stretch the muscles in my thighs, curling toes like pretzel train wreck, wrapped around two wood telephone poles from flying off the rail tracks on the trek. Do the shadows mask the path to the light, blocking the warm glow from kissing skin? Freeze-drying the gateway heading out of this flesh-on-bone frame that holds me in? Can you yank me from this carcass prison if lips call to you on the whisper in the din? End poem.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what this is. this is a very dark, Deb. But I was just going to say that it speaks to me of chronic pain, something that someone has to deal with all their lives, and realize that there's no really getting away from it. And I know a few people that have to deal with that, and it's not pretty, it's not fun. I know, but the way that you describe it, I don't know, it kind of gives it a life of its own. I thought this was very well written.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you staying to comment for me. And I know you probably have to go get ready for the mortuary. I will see you over there. Appreciate you both very much. And Mr. Wayne Dent, yours is on the board if you want to throw a comment towards mine. And then
yours. This point tells a lot about how I feel in the morning. And when I get up, it's a painful poem. It's one of the person wanting to escape the torment they're in. It says yank me from this carcass prison, and it says that's a great words right there. And you did a good job reading it. And it's and lots of pain and lots of emotion in this poem. It's dark for sure. Great job, I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne, and you should see yours.
All right, mine is called. The picture I picked was kind of it's a hard picture to really see very much. You got to look close. It's a picture of an eruption under the water, and so I called it Captain Crust Erupts. And it goes like this. Hour of aquarium ambassador, forges ignition, a fluted floor, reddish eyes, commanding sangria lava to march once more, blackberry beard, guards traveling pomegranate flaming flow, oxblood angelfish weep as blinking raspberry puddles grow. Broken brick demon devil announces assassination in pepper haze. Magnesium muscles tossing poisonous weapons as arms raise. Denim demands dart from dwelling door in dire depressive depths. Sharpened scarlet-stained sword stabs shouting seashells on steps. Captain Crust awoke tossing strawberry confetti in the sea. A veined laceration of rose ribbons setting aluminum alloys free. braided webs of brandywine lava wielded aquarium water to boil. Tsunami of broken trinkets and amber avalanche left sheets of topsoil. In?
Whoa, Captain Crust erupts. I like the title. Ire of Aquarium Ambassador forges ignitions of fluted floor. You like to pull out those alliterations, Wayne, and you do it well. Blackberry beard, I love that. There are the colors in that fire, so I do like that you put that. And pomegranate, flaming flow, oxblood, angelfish, and then I was like, oh, because like the poor angelfish. But your blinking raspberry puddles glow. So just that first stanza there has so much incredible imagery that who would have thought that you could tell me, last year, do you think that you could have packed so many colors into the first stanza of your poem?
I love
seeing that you guys, and I, that are user all using it now. The colors way more, and I don't mean just because, you know, you're sort of forced to with my word bank. I hear you read poems on other shows where your crayons are in there too, I'm so thrilled that you all pulled color into your world more, paid more attention to it, because like that's such a beautiful thing, and it's showing in this poem. And I'm looking forward to, once you change into the textures, Wayne, to see what colors stick with you that you tend to use. Because right now it seems like there's lots of people stuck on the word periwinkle, and every time I see it pop up somewhere, it makes me smile. So it's like, it's sobering to see how the things rub off. But back to your poem.
Yeah,
shrapnel,
I'm thankful for everything you
sword.
Do to me.
Oh, thank you. But my tongue twister here. Sharpened scarlet stained sword stab shouting seashell on step. Well, there's a she sells for you. I can't even say that now. Wow. But I think that you did an excellent job with this rain, and I appreciate you and your creativity very much. Dave Buffett, would you please comment for Wayne while I grab your poem?
Okay. Yeah, Wayne, I really like this. This was cool. I saw this prompt, and I thought, that'd be kind of fun, you know. And then I found the one that I was going to use, and so I picked that one. You really did this one justice. You wrote this exactly the way I probably would have done it. I like that one line there that's riddled with S words, like Deborah's saying, you know. sort of a tongue twister, but no, this is really good. It's really good. It's got a great storyline to it. It's not just a bunch of colors that are shotgunned onto into the poem. That you really thought about what words you're gonna put after the adjectives and that sort of thing. And I think you did a brilliant job with this. It's really well done.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate that.
And what I figured we would do, guys, after we read ours, we'll take turns. When I put up the other ones, I'll comment, and then I'll ask each one you used to comment on one of them. So we'll stick to the two each and see if we can't fit them all in. And we're doing amazing. Cool. And awesome comment, Dave, and yours should be ready.
Okay. When I saw this picture, it just jumped right into my heart. I don't know what it was, but I could only write this thing one way, and it's called the Tragedy of the Red Queen. So it came to pass that the dark mother came to me in my reverie. She said to me, David, thy heart is troubled, drowning in a sea of your oxblood-stained fears, I see. My queen, I met your Red Queen. She is our true believer. She came alone to me in a dream. Her story to me breaks my heart so. Ghostly pale as alabaster, piercing blue eyes, savage blinding lights from Aldebaran skies, magnificent in her stature and regality, spellbinding her countenance, she commanded my due diligence. She spoke to me in a wavering timbre, ethereal yet other dimensional, face shifted in and out of future past. the present and future tense cast. You must be the one David William, the Dark Mother, has spoken of you. Please forgive my countenance. It is not of my choosing. Ruby coherence bathing her in its rose-litten beignet. I could see the teeth marks of love across her porcelain face even yet. David, will you listen to me? Tell me where my heart went wrong. I have always sang the same song. I have outlived a dozen kings. I bear all those ill-gotten rings. One of them, unbeknown to me, was a vampire king. He left me barren after his near-lethal sting, for I could not bear another. My heart he did steal. I never loved the other kings, while I outlived them all. I wept for the Red Queen. I fell down upon my knees while I held her hand, my heart bleeding darkest of scarlet within my soul's emerald eyes. For I found this Red Queen beautiful in the strangest of ways, chasing her photons in the superluminal until the end of days. Stay with her, David William, for her time is drawing near. I shall release her soul. I kissed the Red Queen. She breathed her dying last breath into me while I held her hand. Her life force flowed betwixt our fingers. My tears fell upon them. Her sands of time finally ran down. A mask of peace now resting across her exquisite features, savage as they are beautiful. End poem.
Wow, Dave. There was mega emotion and maybe sadness. I kind of feel like I almost felt like we should cry together at the end or something. I don't know. But
I know.
You know how we're always telling people that, you know, oh, I think we can tell that it's yours because of the, like with AP, the rhyme pattern, and with Hatter and the cadence, and lately with Wayne, we could tell by the way he's been using the colors and the alliterations and stuff, and everybody has their thing. Well, with you, you can always tell because even when you bring in sentimental David, the terminology and stuff reminds us that you're an intelligent person and that science is your thing because, of course because of the Dark Mother, but like we all know that she's a big influence in your poetry, and as strange as it seems, she's also changed some of the tenderness that you put into a write. I hope I said that right. I'm saying it as a good thing, so I hope it came off that way. Like, if you can rub off on a non-existent person, you know, you do. And your compassion and I can't think of the other word I'm trying to say, but you're vested in this character, and it shows it, and especially in this one. She breathed her dying breath into me while I held her hand. Her life force flowed betwixt our fingers. My tears fell upon them. Her sands of time finally ran down, a mask of peace now resting across their exquisite fabrics. Savage. They are beautiful.
That should have been features. Should have been features at the typo.
Oh, okay. Exquisite features, savage as they are. But just that closing line, savage as they are beautiful, it is like I see deeply this person, this character, this photo touched you, and it's impressive how you managed to pull it from the photo, from your heartstrings, and bleed it all over the page for us. So a hell of a piece. Absolutely.
Thank
you,
Deb. It really hit me, and I just almost felt like she was talking to me when I was looking at it and studying the picture a little bit, and it just all of a sudden the story just hit me, and I thought, well, this is the way it's got to go, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read for Angels next, and since she can't comment for you, Wayne, will you comment for Dave, please?
Yes. David Williams, will you listen to me? And she listened to you when she said that. I mean, you listened to her, and you stole her heart before she died in your fingertips. You're like me and having a lot of hard time with women lately. They're dying in your fingertips, even the bad ones. I thought you sure was surely going to be the king, the fifth king, King William the Fifth. That sounded so good. And you did a great job of this. It's very interesting all the way through, and I liked it a lot. Good job.
Thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
Great comment, Wayne. Thank you very much. And before I read for Angel, let me let two ladies in. I have the Queen of Canada. Hello, sis. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
How you doing, Lady A?
Hi, everybody.
Very glad you're here.
Hey, Andrea.
And we are on, you know how we have to push them through when we do the tribute shows where we just do two comments each? We're actually doing that tonight because I've got, a million poems, and I'm trying to squeeze them all in, and that's where we stand. And right behind our beautiful queen is the gorgeous Ginger from the Mile High City, my dear sweet. Hey, sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hello, darling.
Sweet, sweet.
Hey, sweet. Sweet.
You are here.
Hey, darling. Thank you.
Okay, so I am just about to read for Angel, and then what I'll do is I'll comment, and I'll get one more, and then we'll move to the next poem so that we can get them all in for those who just tuned in. You guys see Angel's on the board? Anybody?
Yeah.
Can I put it up? Yes.
Yes, it's there.
Cool. Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, this poem is called Feel Whole Again by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. In the mid-morning race, when the sun's flames blend in with blueberry sky, casting a Merlot glow, you emerge into my mind. How can I remember a time so long and passing? Yet, even in my quietest moments, I weep to hear your voice just once more, whispering love songs while we imbibe on the chilled glass of sangria. I feel like cotton candy, sugar, and air squeeze me in, and I turn into small, sticky, damp wad of weeping pink-red watermelon. From the first moment you crossed my path, our connection had begun with soft words to share, gentle as the first blush of pomegranate upon morning lily skies. Time is not always kind to those who give their hearts away. Frigid hollows and empty words are etched upon memory. A slate never cleaned of rose-colored delusions. I hide behind the mask of pretend, of bygone times burning like hot lava, searing my soul to blackened, ashy dust. I want to be held and told my name in hushed whispers upon a saffron sunset. I want to be valued in ways that I'm not. I want to be more than vulnerable. I repeat my former name, remind myself of what once could do, how others saw me. I want to steal something from that past to feel whole once more. Stop the flow of scarlet tears falling like bricks down alabaster cheeks. For now, this mask is my hiding place until I feel whole once more. End poem. Oh, man. That's it. Angel, I think you outdid yourself with this prompt. I think that the emotion grabbed me while I was trying to read it for you. I think that your wording is exceptional. Towards the beginning. Yet even in my quietest moments, I weep to hear your voice just once more, whispering love songs while I imbibe on chilled glass of sangria. The tones in this, the longing, the underlying ache and pain of past, the wish to be worshipped. Told my name with hushed whispers. I mean, this is excellent. And it, like I said, it really grabbed me. I think that you took this word bank and put these colors in, and it made my heart bleed, for lack of a better way to put it. And I also see that you've won a couple medals on this. Easy to see why. Always an honor to read for you, Angel. And this is an absolutely amazing poem. Okay. Hatter, can you see the screen yet, or should I?
No, that was quite. I love the way she. The storyline in it, etched upon memory of the state never cleaned on rose-colored delusions, the metaphors and the colors stood through. This is very good.
Yeah, I'm utterly blown away by this one. You're welcome, Angel. Absolutely my pleasure. Hatter, don't leave that mic. It is your turn to read. Before you do, I want to say hi to Sky. Welcome to the show, Sky.
Sky.
Just a real quick, explanation of what's happening. Tonight we're just, someone reads, I comment on that person, and then the next reader comments, so that we're getting two comments each so that I can fit all the poems in. And I just read for Angel and commented, and I am, I think, Sweet, are you ready to read? Can you comment on Angel and read for us? I'll get your link.
Yes, absolutely. First off, I think it's stunning and it's beautiful and it's extremely powerful, and I felt it was very personal. I won't go through every stanza that's here that I love, because I would have to reread the whole poem. But I will say that the time is not always kind to those that give away their hearts. Give their hearts away, fringe hollow and empty words are etched upon memory, a slate never clean, a row of rose-colored delusions. That covers up or covers so much in things that are, when you're lied to or portrayed or things like that. And I thought that was just stunning and really kind of in your face and raw. I thought it was absolutely a perfect emotional piece that really hit home with me. Thanks for writing. I thought it was beautiful.
Amazing comment. And you should see yours on the board.
All right. Let me get back to that board. All right. Lost behind the veil of crimson shadows. Lost behind the veil of crimson shadows. She looked for strawberry freckles on ivory skin, begged for sapphire eyes to rise from the murky waters. Raspberry lollipops and watermelon picnic days. Schoolgirl crushes and dance hallways. A scarlet demon giggled at foolish human ways. A small red flame danced around his fingers. Demonic creature bending iron and steel, she flew to his side and surrendered. His angelic face, surrounded by ginger curls, transcended her fear of Satan's wrath. She smiled and bound him to her eternal damnation. The ground opened up and he was gone. No earthly evidence of his life remained. Torture was her pleasure and he obeyed. Satan grew tired of her charade. He demanded she stopped her red-nosed reindeer games. She hissed and complained and spit in his face. Hell's fury has no wrath. It is evil defined. Lucifer burned and skinned the apple of her eye. Tossed him in the river Styx where he'd never die. lost behind the veil of crimson shadows. She looked for strawberry freckles on ivory skin, begged for sapphire eyes to rise from the murky waters. End poem.
Can we start with your voice, sweet? I love listening to you read. I mean, really. Come on.
Lost
behind the veil of crimson shadows. I like the title. It goes amazingly with the flow in her gown there. So really great. And then you had like raspberry lollipops and watermelon picnic days and schoolgirl crushes at dance hall raves. A scarlet demon giggled at foolish human ways. And I was like, oh, my heart broke right there because, you know, those times that you're there and that's a perfect example, those schoolgirl crushes where, you know, they might not have even noticed that you were standing there and that crushing feeling. And then you could imagine that demon giggling. So that hit. His angelic face surrounded by ginger curls, transcended her fear of Satan's wrath. She smiled and bound him to her eternal damnation. I'm like, whoa. You look... only you, my sweet, take this picture of these beautiful birds and this gorgeous lady riding with her lantern, get down the stream, and she turns out to be a demon biatch, the Satan's for one. And he grew tired of the charade, and he demanded that she stop the red-nosed reindeer games. She hissed and complained and spit in his face, and I'm like, oh, my God, only you. Hell, fury has no wrath. It's evil to bind. Yeah, wicked awesome this sweet. And then, of course, at your ending there, lost behind the veil of crimson shadows, she looked for strawberry freckles on ivory skin, begged for sapphire eyes to rise from the murky waters. And you got to that point, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that's a nice wish. And then my mind said, but you got to wonder if she was going to bite his head off and chew it up and spit it out.
She loved him.
Throat for dinner or something. So it was like, wowza. The unexpected and not in the depths of the darkness, but in the way that you and your soft, sultry whispers can take this enchanted feel and scare the hell out of us with it. That takes talent. Great stuff, sweet. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Let me see. How about if I get a comment from Sky, please?
Yeah, I thought that was excellent. And, you know, there was a... Sorry, I wasn't quite expecting to be up. So it was an excellent piece. I love how you took a fanciful outtake of a very real and raw and dark situation that really can be implemented in a very real kind of way. And I think that many people that deal with trauma and deal with those demons trying to, take our innocence, I think sometimes having such things in a context in literature and a mode of fantasy, it kind of hides those undertones, but also reflects on a truth in a softer kind of way. I really enjoyed it. It was like I said, very, I guess, telling of a lost youth. But I love the context in which you implemented that message within. Very well done. Thank you. I appreciate it, Sky, very much.
And can you stay for one more poem and listen to Titus, please?
Oh, yeah. Not absolutely. I just have to... Oh, who are you talking to?
Well actually, the three, I said three, but I was going to ask you and Lady L.A. as well. But
look on the board. That's how I was going to do. I was going to do Titus so that you guys can comment, and then Lady A and yourself, if that works. Cool. Okay. Now, you guys click on Titus, and I will push his recording, and we can find out what kind of brilliance he set for us. Here we go.
In worship of you, my love, to separate you from others, my love, transfixed, the center of my world has kept, amid the varietal merlots, faith you up above, for if I had, I'm sorry, not to make you blush, it isn't wine, for the blood of Christ is thine to climb, eh? Persimmon tree, I need not rush, for was it not the cross I bear, you'd lift me up from the lowly reaches, blessing you did sup, which held the flame, it seems the devil wept, to liberate my freedom, leaf-fibred raffia, not sangria, to escape what has troubled me. You are by far valued more than saffron spice. Given the brandy offered does pack a punch. My eyes are red, my love for you, confrey. Each garnet does create a loyalty to suffice, I say. A ruby would for all time be never wise. Become you, as your blood did guide his rise. Pimiento berries scatter. Chiefly as a reminder, the lava lily flare, it would help me find her.
Wow. Yeah, I have to start by saying how delightful it is to have people making recordings, especially when they read like Titus. His pronunciations mixed with his incredible wording is always so sophisticated. I think it's towards the middle. To liberate my freedom, leaf fibrid raffia, not sangria, to escape what was so troubled me. You are my far valued more than saffron spice. Given the brandy offered does pack a punch. My eyes are red, my love for you, comfrey. Each garnet does create a loyalty to suffice, I say, a ruby would for all time be never wise, become you as your blood did guide his rise. I mean, my goodness, listen to the power in his wording. And his words, the colors that he chose even, added to it. And look at the art, the beads, the rose, the whole package, and put it with the wording that he did. But back at the beginning, to separate you from others, my love, transfixed. There's just something so romantically beautiful, and just the way you started, to separate you from others, my love. It's just, I know that Titus is no pushover. He is an intelligent man who, he, as far as I know, has people that work under him that respect his authority, per se, and it's always awesome when you hear someone that you know is an astute and dare I say, tough business person showing their vulnerable side and bringing us poetry that starts with, to separate you from others, my love. It is just such an impressive thing. And for this one, I just very much appreciate the tenderness that it was poured in here. So, like, wow, impressive as always, Titus. Thank you very much. And let me see. as I said, we're just doing two comments each. And Lady A, whether you read it or I do, your poem is next, so will you please comment for Titus?
Okay. I love his poetry. I love his voice. I love the elegance of his pen. I think he is absolutely mesmerizing in old world speak. I loved everything about this poem and how he incorporated, you know, a spiritual aspect of it as well, the picture into his writing and his love for this woman. And where do I see this? My eyes are red, my love for you come fray. Each garnet does create a loyalty to suffice. I say a ruby would for all time be never wise, become you as your blood did guide his rise. But then that last couplet, pimento berries scattered chiefly as a reminder, the lava lily flare twould help me find her. Oh, beautiful. Love it. Elegant. Glorious. He's a wonderful writer.
Agreed. Awesome comment. And
I wrote one not long ago. I don't know if it's in the room or not.
I didn't push send, so now I'm headed back there, and I'm there. It is. I'm going to just push send and send it right through. There it is.
You know what? I was late getting my prompt, but if I had been all the pictures there, I would have picked this one. It really spoke to me. And it's called Red Veil. Astonished, amazed, appalled, perplexed, pained, puzzled. Describe emotions as reality strikes, I become rust. I am muzzled. Brandy blinded, got beguiled, bewitched by one's own obsession. Twisted guts, twisted thoughts, twisted oxblood oppression. Cruel critic, caustic flame, destroyer of confidence. Creates a world of delusion, deceitful cherry-colored condescendence. Dishonest, disloyal, dominance over ruby red roses. Heartbroken, mother love, dedication, determination. Scarlet heart bleeding. Turning back time, barren would be sublime like Merlot wine. Veil worn in grief, into the darkness creeps for sweet relief. End poem.
Okay. For starters, you did great with the read. I would have much rather heard it from you, so I'm glad you got through. And on the photo, I too was really shocked that it was there, actually almost bummed that nobody took it. So I was really happy when you chose it, especially to hear you say you would have chose it anyhow. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you used your alliteration like a hammer in this one, in my opinion, because each adjective, each thought, each feel smacks in between, pained, puzzled, describe emotions as reality strikes. I become rust. I am muzzled. That is so sad. I mean, rust fading away, muzzled, and you can't say. So it's like there's two lines there, and just those two lines drive the power of emotion that you are putting into the poem here. And then in the middle, cruel critic, caustic flame, destroyer of confidence, creator of worlds of delusions, deceitful cherry-colored condescendence. Nothing worse than being condescended. I mean, come on. But the destroyer of confidence, it gives me thoughts of those people that can only make themselves feel better by pounding someone else down, by making them feel worse. And I think that speaks of that there. Your wording is bold and powerful, and so is single couplet.
great read, great poem.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Sweet, did you want to push your show before Sky comments and reads, or can you stay for Sky?
No, I will be here for Sky.
Okay, cool. Then, Sky, will you please comment for Lady A and then read your poem for us?
Oh, yes, I thought this was an excellent piece. I mean, it speaks of those toxic interpersonal relationships that seem to loom over one. And like I said, in a very toxic way, when you go through, well, first of all, as always, your alliteration and your comma descriptions are obviously at point. Those long line rhymes are at point. But, you know, and more importantly, you've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 12 lines here. And you pack so much emotion behind it. You know, the cruel critic, caustic flame, destroyer of confidence. I know that Deb had highlighted that, but, you know, to me it speaks of those around us that tear us down and that are disloyal. And then when you go into the opposition of perhaps the giver, you know, being pretty much, you know, wanting to, as it says, you know, a veil of war and grief, and then going back to, you know, going back into that darkness where they creep. I mean, those are powerful messages of pretty much being worn at the soul, and I think this is a very powerful piece, Lady A.
Thank you.
Incredible comment. Thank you, Lady A. And your poem is on the board, Case.
Thank you. This is Crestfallen, I Disintegrate. In Spectre Gardens, there lies a resurrection. She walks herself beside the footpath of giants, a ceremonial guard of dark Hampshire oak, leaving a trail of claystone gillyflower made of carbon prints. She's composed of Canterbury crystal and porcelain skin, a ceramic casing for unmasked six-like rills. And as ghostwriters fill books with ink remembering, she dissolves, sets herself upon the Inglenook bench, cradling frisk songs turned ash, those russet reds wrought with death, ransom shutters that wrote her will, abstruse cacophonies that consign themselves to the interlocking bells of labyrinthine jars, those handmade glass containers that hold the tapestry of dream-like time memorials, Asiatic lily blacklist bouquets tucked in brim hats, and ever-voking palms. And in the twilight of sketching myself, through opaline wells, tearless against rifted veils, I see those tresses of hickory bark laced with a pale streak of diamond snow, as if those ghosts of paper and she who resurrects were made real, aging the soul evermore. And home.
Ooh, what an ending. I think I'll start at the end of this one. As if those ghosts of paper and she who resurrects were made real, aging the soul evermore. I love, 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 love the ending. Okay. How'd they say that? Now, go all the way back to the beginning. I already mentioned to you that I really love your title. But right from the get-go, you have these little couplets. But each one is like a snippet in Spectre Gardens. There lies a resurrection. She walks herself beside the footpath of giants, a ceremonial guard. That's actually kind of brilliant there, Sky. And then further in, sticks like rills,
and notice the type of sticks. And as ghostwriters fill books with ink remembrance, she dissolves. Like, the more they speak of her, the more they write of her, the less of her is left. Like, they're taking everything as she disintegrates. Man, those russet reds rot with death. Ransom stutters that broach her will. Man, the tapestry of dreamlike time memorials. So many, my goodness. Tearless against the rift veils, I see those tresses of hickory bark laced with pale streaks of diamonds. Oh, and then to that brilliant ending. Sky, I really, really like what you did with this. How I could feel myself feeling sorry for her with the thoughts of that disintegration, of her crumbling, of the books that are filled with those remembrances dissolving her. The empathy that you pulled from me for the person in this story is really powerful. Another brilliant poem. I don't even, I'm running out of adjectives to be able to tell the poets that I hang out with how incredible I think they are. So, you know, if I repeat them, that's just your fault for being so good at writing poems and stuff. This is absolutely, absolutely outstanding.
Thank you, Beth.
Before I get to the comment, let's say hello to AP. Welcome to the show, AP.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
I am hanging in there, and we are packed with poems, so we're on a push-and-go type of schedule tonight. How much time do you have?
Not a heap, but that's okay. It's all good.
Okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Sky's comment. I did hers. I'm going to get her another. And then I'll get you on the board. If you want to put your poem directly, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll put it straight up. Yep.
Cool. And sweet, how about if you comment for Sky and then tell us what's happening on Thursday?
Okay. Sky, well, I just put you on my list because this is one of my favorites for many reasons. The word choices, your imagery, your storyline, and the emotional pull. I don't know how you do it, but you always have the ability to make me believe in the character, the person you're talking about. I feel for the moments they're in, like the dreamlike moments, the words you put in there, the ghostwriter that feels the ink with remembrance. She composed a cranberry crystal. I just feel the delicacy of those crystals and how they're just kind of floating away from her. And, you know, the cacophony and all of that. You make me feel for every moment in your words. And I don't know how you do that, but you do that with almost every write that I read from you. You know, as if those ghost papers... As if if those ghosts of papers and she who resurrected, it's like she's real. She's not just something on a page. You brought her to life for me, and you bring, and you make me feel. You make me feel like this is something that should not be happening to this person. But I want to be. I want to fix and do something, and I'm upset that I can't. So thank you once again for making me feel that way.
Thank you, sweet. She is actually...
You're welcome.
She, in this piece, is actually the phantom or figment of memories that we put into our writing, like ghost memories that we remember when we're writing on the page. That's why it switches down to I at the bottom. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And Thursday night... what is going on with my crazy world is really scary, scary stuff. Basically, as ghosts and goblins begin to appear, believe in the insanity that we spill that gives our minds a frightful chill. All the pictures that you see are real. Please write us home for all and share a thrill. It's pick a picture time. These are things people have actually tried to do. You can see the pictures on my wall of some marketing gimmicks, some things that people have put out there. There's one of them I don't know. There's a lovely sign of a family bathroom where there's a lovely family with a demon in it. I'm not sure if you have a demon in your family, but you can take them into this restroom. And there's one very proud one of a lovely blue horse called Lucifer, who is a very large blue horse that will welcome you to the Denver International Airport. He actually killed the sculptor, but he's big and blue, and he has bright red devil eyes, and he is the ambassador for my hometown, the Mile High City. So take a look at him. Some beautiful, lovely, crazy pictures, and they should scare the bejesus out of you. So have fun with my show. I'd love to hear what you have to say. At Sweet Discussions, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Sounds like a fun time. Everybody wants to visit a town where a Lucifer horse welcomes you. Just saying. Okay, now, thank you for calling Lady A. I appreciate it. And thank you for calling Wayne. And AAP, will you read your poll, please?
Well, I'm just in the middle of a bowl of soup as we speak, Deb. It's obviously the theme for Saturday night. In the darkest flame, this is obviously for Sky because it's about a dragon. And it goes a little bit like this. Creature of darkest flame seeks out tithe upon wings of scarlet by sangria spread. Fingers of ruby shapen of knives' scythe, banshee wail a signal of this lord's dread. Gold is offered with their coins and rum, the price to stop him randomly ebonize. Of dried ginger and nutmeg wings hum, will make sure so then manners applies. Carefully counts and sorts his treasure, departs with a swirl to his lair of squalls, awaiting random callers so can measure a length of talons as next dead night falls. End poem.
Wow. I like where you took this. And this is another one where you just got it not all that long ago, and look what you did. Creatures of the darkness, flame seek out upon wings of scarlet and green red. Light. Sorry. Fingers of ruby, sharpened knives, sight, banshee will signal, lord's dread. I can't read tonight. I don't know what's wrong with me. But there is a like a brutal power. Gold is offered with their coins and rum. The price up is randomly ebonized. I'm going to not steal all the lines. But nutmeg wings hum. It's a scary but pretty thought for some reason. But I bet you it wouldn't be if you were standing there hearing it. Awaiting random callers so can measure length of talons at next dead nightfall. That's a creepy thought, to measure the length of talons. I don't even think I want to know how. This is kind of wicked with some really cool imagery in there. I like the colors that you chose. They turned out to be perfect dragon colors. But I really like, even though I said tith instead of type, the creatures of the dark flame seeks out type upon wings of scarlet by sangria spread. There's something really vividly gorgeous about wings of scarlet and sangria. And then your ABAB. We were just talking about people's various trademarks earlier, and that was one of the ones I said for you.
Yep.
I think that you did also with the colors and the rhyme, and given the dragon photo a story, and I'm interested in the length of those talons at the next dead nightfalls. I guess ripping out that heart and see how far those talons go in is a to measure things. Really cool. Wow. Wicked stuff in there. And you know what?
Thanks, Steve.
Wicked stuff. I think I will go to our Queen of Darkness for a comment. Sweet, are you muted?
They're muted. Sorry.
Oh.
I was very muted. I like gold is offered with their coins and rum. Yummy. The price to stop him randomly ebonized. Of course, everybody wants to try to stop a dragon, and nobody will, even though they constantly think they can. 9th Italians are next dead knight balls. I like anything that can be ripped apart by Italian, because it just sounds so delicious, doesn't it? No, I thought this was great, AP. And I love your dragon poems. I have a whole series of them from the last time I did my fairy tales. So this just goes into the dragon story. You do very well with them. There's so many lines I like in Fingers of Rubies, sharpen as knives, a banshee wail. I love that. And of course, I say banshee wail and my banshee starts. But the imagery in here is really, really good. So I think you just should just do a whole, like, folder of dragons. Or just, you know, maybe we should do, like, when we do our play dates, maybe you and I can do a Night of Dragons. Because I think that would be
that'd
a lot
be cool.
of fun.
That'd
yeah.
Be cool.
Because we both have that
absolutely.
Love of dragons. So look forward to the dragons, the hissing and the screaming and the Italian ripping. Here we go. Yeah. Love this.
Good
yeah.
idea. Really good idea.
And, sweet, I have a question. I sent you a text with a title that AP threw out there. Did you see that text?
No. But my phone's been charging all afternoon, so I have to go look for it.
I'm not going to comment because I just wanted to hear your honest initial reaction. So I'm going to just drop it there. I know that AP has to finish his soup, and AP, I appreciate you calling.
Of course.
I have Hutter's on the board. Hutter, can you see yours? Sweet behave.
I love it. Sorry, yeah, that's great.
Hutter, are you there?
That was a good reaction.
Yeah, I'm here. You really want me to read it? Okay. Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay. Clouds of oil and liquid heat. Like this. Clouds of oil and liquid heat, vanilla and maple complete treat. Now sweet cinnamon, she burns when cold. It's written in a story I once told. It's sad to think that it will end with me, that thing we shared called a memory.
There, Potter. You didn't think, you had said to me, I think I need to add to mine. Well, I don't think that you needed a whole lot of words there to remind us that one, you know, one of your hobbies is to pull the Georgie Porgie thing on us. man, it's sad to think that it will end with me, that thing we shared called a memory. A memory only ends with you if you don't share it, right? And I think that one of the things that your mom has said to you is you had so many memories, you should write a book. And I think at this point I'm going to second that emotion from your mom and say that you should write that book. And I'm going to second my emotion of saying that you do tugging on heartstrings quite well, even with only a handful of words. You just do.
AP.
Yes. 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 Well, it does look like. I like this way it starts. The clouds of oil and liquid heat. It does look like a billowing of some form of sort of clouds and heat. And I like the colours and the tastes, and that it sort of reminds us that memory is not just about just a visual thing. Memory is about something we taste and something we feel. And so it's a very neat little brevity, Hatter. Very neat.
Thank you, B.
Awesome. And let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so all five of those have a recording. And
I need to say me.
Huh? Sweet, did you want to say something, hon?
Because clouds of oil and liquid heat, vanilla and maple complete the treat. Now sweet cinnamon burns me cold. It's written in the story that I once told. You know, a hot memory served cold is still sweet. Bring it on, my Hatter. Wink, wink.
My fault. I should have realized that it was a poem about sweet and directly to her. I'm sorry, sweet.
Of course.
All poems with that word in there. And you know what it is? I also reminded everybody recently that if they put that word in there, to be prepared, that you would be responding as if the poem was written just for you.
When it's that hot and sexy.
So everybody hung up on us, and it's just the board sitting here. How's that? Wowza.
That's awesome.
And other than this poem by Crystal on the board, which, sweet, I was hoping you would read, I have a recording for all the other ones.
All right. Okay, so this is I Wither Like a Strawberry Rose by Crystal Hope. Strawberry fields wither from gray clouds as mold evaporates into a clear mist. My heart compensates for lost time of that one desired wish. My life wilts like petals of a rose, unraveling in shaded crimson seams. Encumbered winds blow in the mazes of unsatisfied, fantasized dreams. Farther along I bleed for the thorns that left scars on my aching skin. Tears stream down my red cheeks from the pain I let in. I wither like a strawberry rose, buried in blossoms of time's soil. I plunder under the seeds of stunted alien toil. My poem.
Wow. The title got me from the beginning. I wither like a strawberry rose. Just the title is very sad, very, very painful. We go to the second stanza. My life wilts like the petals of a rose unraveling in jaded crimson seams. Encumbered winds blow in the mazes of unsatisfied, fantasized dreams. Well, no wonder she won a gold for this. Man, just that one stanza on its own amplifies the pain that she's feeling. And this is another one, because I wouldn't have looked at the rose, the flowery picture, and pulled so much sadness from it. And I'm the aching skin and the tears are streaming down cheeks. The pain and the agony and the sorrow is really, really potent throughout the piece. And this is the time in the show when I find myself saying that, Crystal, I sure hope that this was just a brilliant write and not writing from an ache in you. There was an excellent, excellent share. Thank you for sending it in. We missed you. And since you're not here reading it, I know that means you fell asleep, and that's okay because sleep is good. And sweet, you read it beautifully. Will you please comment on it?
Well, I like it. It was like a rose. Like roses have like circle layers. They have different layers of petals. It was like as each petal fell, you could feel the different emotions and the sadness in those emotions. So I loved her title too. I wither like a strawberry rose, because you just kind of feel those petals falling off and falling away, and you know, and feel the sadness as each one fell, each petal fell. I thought that was quite beautiful.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. Okay, if you guys will just spell out these recordings, if anyone can hang out. If you will click on Naomi's piece, I will push play for her. She's in the chat room.
Licorice. I could write you a poem with words as sweet as juicy watermelon dripping from the corners of your lips, bubbly like sips of sparkling cherry cola bursting upon your tongue. But today my words are grits and broken bricks, burning their way down a scarf throat, dusty like rust that clings to barbed wire, and bloody like pomegranate seeds squashed between knuckles on two tightly clasped hands. Today is trash day, with the reeking stench of rotten tomatoes, radish and potato peelings, a reminder that I used to have someone who cared enough to roll that stinking garbage bin to the road. My words were all candy, tutti frutti, and strawberry swirls and lollipops then, flowing like my hair as he ran his fingers through my tangled curls. Not today. Today words wander aimlessly between my brain and my mouth. All those words I should have said or shouldn't have. Like chewed up bits of sugarless licorice. They are hard and stick in my teeth.
Couldn't find the mute button. I like the way she reads. Thank you for the recording, Naomi. I have to say, when I added the picture of the licorice to the board, I wondered if anybody would take it. And I was excited to see that you took it, Naomi. I could write you a poem with words as sweet as juicy watermelon. Now, I have to wonder if this poem is about sweet, too, because, I mean, the word is in there. Just saying.
Oh, no.
Bubbly.
I don't think that's made her mad.
Bubbly like sips of sparkling cherry cola bursting up. Tongue. And you know something? I think if I had to, with food, describe you, sweet, I would say you were bubbling like sips of sparkling cherry cola bursting upon your tongue. Mm-hmm. Just saying. So I like the opening there. But in the middle there, today's trash day with the reeking stench of rotten tomato, radish, and potato peelings, a reminder that I used to have someone who cared enough to roll that stinking garbage bin to the road. And something like that, you know, you think, okay, it's just taking out the trash, but when somebody used to do it for you, you can be hit pretty bad with the thought of, you know, I miss the person who used to do that. So, excuse me, I was very surprised by that aspect in the poem. And then towards the end, not today. Today's words wander aimlessly between my brain and my mouth. Yeah, I know those days. And sometimes you better beware what comes out in the middle of that aimless chaos. But the ending, like chewed up bits of sugarless licorice, they are hard and stuck in my teeth. And that's like that linger, that annoyance, that the raw feeling of it. I think that you took the licorice in a very surprising way, Naomi, and I am impressed in the direction that you took it. Much appreciate the sound recording and the participation, and keep them coming, please. Hatter, did you get to hear Naomi? Are you muted? I don't know. AP, will you comment for Naomi, please?
Are you talking to me?
Hello, yeah, Hannah. Please. Yeah, would you comment for Naomi?
I was
just going to get us each to do comment on one.
I had to move into the other wing of the house.
Okay, not a problem. Not a problem. AP, please.
Well, one of my favorite TV shows, for those people who haven't been listening for a little while, is The West Wing, and it did have an episode called Take Out the Trash Day. And it was about where a whole heap of small things are buried on a Friday so that nobody actually gets to hear them or see them. And it's a bit like that final stanza. I like the sense of the words that I should have said or shouldn't have said, could have or couldn't have, and that they're related back to the chewed up bits of sugarless licorice that are hard and stuck in my teeth. There's something about that that relates to a sort of sense of longing, but at the same time, a sense of having something that you can't quite remove. And I think it was beautifully done, Naomi.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much, AP. And I am headed to the board again with the next poem, which is by Phil the Poet. And if you take a peek in his, scroll down just a little bit while I push his recording, I added the photo that he wrote to in the author's, in the comment line. Here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Yorick's Bleeding Skull. Pomegranate seeds appearing from nasal cavities. Blackberry mush leaked like tears through orbital moons. Worms blush like brandy snaps with a cinnamon curse. Burrow deep inside a brick sepulchre of a rust-scented corpse. Poor Yorick's bleeding skull lies gingerly in my hand, turning scarlet as it flows like burgundy wine down my arm, dripping red into a rose-tinted chalice, glowing in a flame of a grinning, narcissistic pose. Crushed marrow thoughts in a cranberry fusion, a mixture of apple, melon, and raspberry at a sinister taste, cannibalistic molestation of a Shakespearean character held in a lobster grip of a tragedy about to unfold. Watermelon tears run down a chiseled cheek that would have blushed at a young maiden's lily smile, now frozen in time under the lava of a burning sun. The leaf of a mulberry bush tastes the sadness and shivers. End poem.
Okay. For starters, I have to say, I was completely surprised by your photo choice, Phil. If I sat and came up with four or five of the photos and I thought you might have chosen one, this would not be one. So I was impressed, and I couldn't wait to see what you did with this bleeding skull. You started right off with a burst of color and the pomegranate seeds appearing from nasal cavities. So you get these beautiful pomegranate seeds, and then the thought of it oozing from the nasal cavity is really kind of gross. So that works. Blueberry mush leaks like tears through orbital moons. Worms blush like brandy snaps, excuse me, with a cinnamon curse buried deep inside a brick specular, I can't even talk, of a rusted scented corpse. So like vivid imagery right from the get-go. You pull us in with all the gory details. And I'm sorry, like I keep getting pulled back to those seeds in the nasal cavity. I think I will forever now see the inside of a pomegranate as this skull with the seeds oozing. So thank you very much for that, Phil. And the third stanza, crushed marrow thoughts in a cranberry fusion, a mixture of apple, melon, and raspberry, and a sinister taste. Cannibalistic molestation of a Shakespearean character held in a lobster grip of a tragedy about to unfold. That's my favorite stanza. I think that that is excellent. It's got creepiness. It's got great detail. I like the little nod to Shakespearean characters. I'm glad you chose this skull. It's a very different approach. Just shows your versatility and skill. I say it all the time, but I really do enjoy listening to you read. I like the way you pronounce words. I think you did a fantastic job. Appreciate it very much. I think I will get the comment from my sweet sister.
Actually, I was messing with my dog and did not hear it. I apologize.
No problem. Hatter, did you hear that one? Heather?
He's on mute.
Okay. AP, please comment from Phil.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was actually not surprised that Phil chose that image, Deb, because, of course, the great Shakespeare and his play Hamlet had the character Yorick, and Yorick, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. He basically talks to the skull, Hamlet. And so it's one of the most famous pieces in Shakespeare, in Hamlet, is that talking to the skull. And so he's grabbed the skull and he's gone and made it very bloody and made it his own. So there you go.
Great comment. And yeah, and now I see it. And I even mentioned the skull, and it just didn't compute. So yeah, pretty brilliant there. Okay, so if you guys click on Frank's, I will push play, and then I think we have two recordings after that. So let me push Frank's. There we go.
Within every recurring nightmare, there is the sable shadow of fear, the fear of the crimson blood pouring to a chalice of dripping sangria, drank from the swallowing mouth of the drowning tunnel of the Red Death, the merged in the acid pool of the burning flames of a burgundy inferno. A thousand souls echo from the dauntless pit of clangorous voices. Gargantuan rats gnaw at the bones of the skulls of the doomed ones, as the fumes of ebony ashes scatter upon the entrance to the door of hell. The toxic mist creeps from the rust of interstices and crevices of the walls. The river of condemnation is full of the wine of the cranberry blood. Nearby the upturned valley of the despair of the faces of oblivion, where pain is shackled in chains and muted by the mountains of molten lava, peeling off the skin and hair, melting to the flowing stream of human flesh. His tongue is like the taste of brandy and flickering like the seductive serpent. His scarlet eyes shine like the fierce glow of resplendent rubies ablaze. His body is wrapped in the coils of the venomous vines sprawling nigh. His breath is the vapor of the toxicity of the high cumulus drifting endlessly. Through the shroud of the Argentine fog emerges the Prince of Darkness. From the chastised centuries of his Plutonian exile to the soul of the earth, beyond the deep realm of the haunting dreams and the Stygian surreality, unleashed to begin his new reign of supremacy in mortal terror. Return of Lucifer. you listen closely, you can hear the clangorous voices of the doomed ones. And if you can listen very closely, you will hear the voice of Lucifer.
Whoa. How creepy was that? Whoa. You know, I have to say there was something about the way you changed your voice, Frank. It gave it an extra poesque Vincent Price mixed in creepy edge. The Return of Lucifer, that's a great title. The River of Condemnation is full of the wine of the cranberry by Dio. I got to blow up the dent. I hit the button and just blew the whole thing apart. Where am I now? The Condemnation. Oh, I lost it. I hate when that happens. All right, let me just go to his tongue is like a taste of brandy and flickering like the seductive serpent. The visuals there, you can just picture the little tongue flicking. His scarlet eyes shine like the fierce glow of repentant rubies ablaze. Really vicious, vivid, excellent images to pull us through. And like I said, it was just that fog emerges, the prince of darkness from the chastised centuries of this plutonium exile. I mean, really, really cool story. You painted the images through every single stanza. Your voice added to the depths of the story. I think that you did a fantastic job with the demon Lucifer himself in this really awesome share. Was a great recording, too. Appreciate it very much, Frank. My sweet, will you comment for Frank?
Yeah, I think he did an awesome job. I think his read was terrifying. I think his voice is great. I think he did some great descriptions doing what he did. I think his imagery was great. Just an amazing job. There's something to be said about what he does.
For sure. He works his voice, with it, no doubt.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay, so all we have Laughing Soul and Saz Borden. So if you click on Laughing Soul, I'll push play.
The Weeping Carouser, a poem by Laughing Soul. Pimento moon with a crooked smile, flaming foliage of rust leaves pile. Eerie music breezes through the mulberry bush as I walk a Halloween trail with a guide so senile. A blind owl perched on an apple tree, sangria served in skulls for free. A carousal whirls with weary heads, I hear a sweet voice sing lullaby to me. little kids she sees, whose souls are bruised, who fear not her cauldron, who fear not her shadow bemused. She brings them here to enchantment land, calls this graveyard their popsicle playland, and ties with a saw their weeping heads, puts them to rest in garnet beds, cradles them with haunting songs. She sees it is here where these children belong, on a flaming foliage of rustic pine, while silently sighs a pimento moon with a crooked smile. And
I think that's the first time I've heard her do a bit of darkness there. And I like the creepy sing-song whispering tones that she put in her voice when she was reading. Little kids say she's whose soul are bruised, who fear not her cauldron, who fear not her shadow bemused. She brings them here to enchantment land, calls this graveyard their popsicle playland. Talk about turning like the thought of Candyland into some creepy graveyard popsicle playland images. That was kind of cool how she pulled the carousel in and gave it the opposite of the sweetness of Candyland. And towards the end, she says it's her where these children belong, on a flaming foliage of rustic pile, while silently sighs a pimento moon with a crooked smile. But when she whispered that, it just helped add to it. I think that you did a great job with the Darkness Laughing Soul. I'm looking forward to seeing you dabble in more. Appreciate it very much, the write and the recording. And let me see here. I will. It's just you and I, AP. You want to comment again?
It's just you and me. Then I better comment. It's a great image, Deb. I really love the image. It's really quite evocative, and I liked where she took image particularly in the second stanza where the blind owl perched on the apple tree and the carousel. How she said it was really interesting. Whirls with weary heads, and I hear a sweet voice sing lullaby to me. There's something really nice about that stanza. I can't tell you why, but I really liked it, and it appealed to me. There you go.
Great comment. And I just put the last one on the board, which has a recording as well. And this is her second poem shared on my shows. I'm glad she liked it last time, and keep them coming. Here we go.
Cool.
Heavy heart. A ruby heart weighed down by strings, captive to the sorrow heartbreak brings. Away in a raspberry room, without a heart, there is certain doom. Sitting atop, with wings weakened, unused for so long, rust deepened, hoping one day the ropes will snap, lift the burden of heartbreak's trap. For now, red represents the pain, a heart that's lost its scarlet flame. Bound in shackles, it's awaiting here, a sword-wielding knight to appear. End poem.
So, what a way to end a poem with the sword-wielding knight. Another person, I think this is the first time that I've heard her darkness as well. And sometimes when you hear someone read their darkness, and their voice is so sweet. You get this different feel from the contrast of the sweet versus the dark. I mean, you don't expect somebody talking so sweetly to have the knight appear with swords. So I like the way it ended. And in the middle, sitting on top with wings, weakened, unused for so long, rust deepened, and it's like use it or lose it feel there, but said brilliantly. And the sad, sad title, Heavy Heart. And a heavy heart can take you in so many directions. So I think that you did a great job with this, Seth. And I'm really, really thrilled that you sent in another piece. And please keep them coming. We're enjoying them very much. And AP, the last comment of the night goes to you.
Yeah, look, it's a beautiful read of a poem that falls down the page with quite beautiful cadence, and it really finishes with the red, and I think it starts with the ruby heart, it finishes with the red representing pain, and it's the cry for help towards the end with the knight is beautifully woven. So, yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, Ted.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that there's something in the tone of her voice that gave it sort of maybe a haunting undertone or something, too, for lack of a better word. So, yeah. So I can't believe I managed to fit them all in with 10 minutes to spare. But I had so many, I didn't want to. I know that people sit and listen all night, and then even though their poems get recorded, it's kind of sad to wait all night and then have the show cut out on you and you have to wait for later.
Yeah.
So I'm making a more concentrated effort at getting them in the original time slot. Plus, for all we know, at any minute they could decide to take that extra hour away from us, and I don't want us to get in the habit of going over and then being stuck disappointing people. So for the moment, I just put a link on the board that's just a peek at next week. Before we do some changes into like textures and stuff like that, I wanted to torture ourselves with one of my favorite things, cupcakes. And there's some delicious cupcakes on the board and some quotes to go with it. And it's going to be a night of torture. So I hope everyone can join in and grab one of their favorite flavors and dazzle me with the brilliance like you always do. Tomorrow night at 11 Eastern, you can join in with Pretty Bird. And she says, bring her something wicked. The spooky season's on the way, and we would like to get spooked tomorrow. So again, that's 11 p.m. Looking forward to that. And on Wednesday at 9 Eastern, we have a show with Lady A, and she has a series of quotes on the topic of rejection, which at one time or another, sadly, most of us go through. So that should be a very emotional show. And then as Sweet said earlier, she's got some really, really cool yet bizarre photos for us to write them. That ought to be a fun, fun show. That is at 11 p.m. Eastern. And then Sweet and AP will get together and come up with something to dazzle us with on Friday night, and we can join them at 11 p.m. Eastern. So, that should be fun.
And Sweet said okay to the title. Yeah.
Ah, well, would you like to share that?
Well, that is okay. It's going to be Sweet and Dour, of course. I think Dour is a fine
word. Yeah, which I do agree is quite a brilliant contradiction of, you know, And Dower, it was really cool. You are good with coming up with the clever little ditties for titles, AP, I got to admit. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the two of you do when you get together.
Who knows?
I know. Well,
we'll work it out.
Yeah, well, I think she only had one disclaimer for the first week to not try to make her learn a palindrome in week one. I thought that was funny.
Correct.
But
That's
yeah,
right.
I'm looking,
yes,
the two of you are going to be all kinds of fun. I just know it.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to
she
that.
Does palindrome. But no, we're not doing a palindrome the first week.
Cool. And, okay, I also want to mention that Saturday is soup. So there's almost entire week at a glance. And if you are not too tired, there's poetry going on right now over at Poetic Slice of Life. They're doing some open darkness over there with Stephen and Kay. And on that note, I guess we will close out. And AP, I know you were going to do a hit and run, but I really appreciate you staying till the end.
No.
I want to share.
It seems if I did a hit and run that there'd be nobody to hit.
That's true. And on that note, I just want to shout out thank you to Hatter and Kay and Stephen and Wayne and David and Lady A and Sweet and Sky and AP and Angel and Crystal and Naomi and Titus and Frank and Bill and Laughing Soul and Sand Burden. Appreciate you all very, very much. Your poetry is incredible, and it's an honor to get to spend every Monday with you. Now go dig into those cupcakes or go jump into pre-bird's topic, but go write a poem. I guess that's all, folks. We are out of here. Again, thank you so much, AP. Love and respect, everyone.
Thanks, Beth.
You don't
okay.
have to go
Talk
home,
soon.
But you can't stay here. Talk soon.
Exactly. Bye all.
Nice.